Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
Been in John 8, but we're going to spend a little bit more time in John 8. And let's start in verse 20. This is overlapping from what we've read before in the past few weeks, but it says, "These words Jesus spoke in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no one laid a hand on him, for his hour had not yet come." You know, we'll get to this, but this is, I think, the second time in this body of scripture where it says Jesus taught. And first thing that Jesus is, I think the first thing, if you have Jesus as a part of your life or as you aspire to have Jesus as part of your life, is that you have to recognize him as your primary teacher. And he has appointed human beings who are also under teachers to sometimes expand on what he said. But Jesus is teacher. Jesus taught in the temple. Jesus was a teacher. And we have to see ourselves, as long as we're a part of his family, we have to see ourselves as his students. And in Jesus, we're reckoning with the God of the universe, the God who created the heavens and the earth. So no matter how much studying you've done or how much time you've spent with Jesus, you still only know very little. And his words are as deep as the ocean. I love it when Nancy uses a metaphor of a young child with a plastic cup or a bucket playing, on a beach and taking water with her, and somebody asking her, "What are you doing?" "I'm bringing the ocean home with me." Right? That's funny, right? That's like us and God. God is the ocean. God is an ocean of knowledge. He's an ocean of understanding. And we get a little cup full once in a while, and it blows us away. And hopefully it should inspire us and it should challenge us and so on and so forth, but we still only have a cup. So when Jesus says Jesus taught them in the temple, Jesus' words are deep. They're deeper than the deepest sea. You can't stop learning from Jesus. You don't have the capacity. When you learn something, every one of us who are serious Christians read a scripture and say, "My gosh, I've never seen that before." Like that's a surprise. Of course. It's the ocean. Yeah? But it should be all the time that we're students of Jesus. At least my ultimate desire is to always think biblically. To think biblically, to have my first thought be a biblical thought when in dealing with an issue, a problem, a circumstance in life, that I would think of how Jesus, what does the Bible say about this? And my first reaction would be to respond that way. It's not always, I wish it was always true. It's a lot more true than it used to be, but it's important. Okay. Then Jesus said to them, I'm going away and you will seek me and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. That's encouraging, isn't it? So the Jews said to him, will he kill himself because he says where I go, you cannot come? Now they didn't say, I think the more obvious question, what do you mean we're going to die in our sin? Well, doesn't that seem like the more obvious question? What do you mean? They just are trying to be antagonistic. They don't really they're really not taking him all that seriously. He said, you're going to die in your sin. I'm going to go away, but you're going to die in your sin. And they said, was he going to kill himself? It's kind of weird. That's kind of a strange response. I was like, what do you mean I'm going to die of my sin? I don't want to die of my sin. I want to go to heaven. Just me, I guess. And he said to them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. This is a very, very important distinction that you should think about often. You should think about the thoughts in your mind. Are you thinking the thoughts of this world? Are you thinking like everyone else thinks? Are you the political guy? You're playing one side or the other, because they're both of this world. They're both thoughts of this world. They're both people who are playing angles on this world. And Jesus said, listen, I am not of this world. You are of this world. I am not of this world. So the things that I'm teaching you, I'm literally teaching you thoughts that come from another world. I'm teaching you thoughts that come from another world. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Well, it's just gentle Jesus, just stroking his little lammies. And then they said to him, who are you? Jesus said to them, just what I've been saying to you from the beginning. I've been telling you all along who I am. I have many things to say and judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true, and I speak the words, those things from which I heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. And then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father taught me, I speak these things. And he who sent me is with me, and the Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. So what's the ultimate goal of the child of God? But it's what Jesus said, I always do those things that please him. That the child of God's greatest desire in life should be, I always do the things that please him. I always do the things that please him. I always do the things that please him. When I don't, I'm sorry for it, and I feel it, and it cuts me like a knife, and I ask him to forgive me. And the Bible says, if we say we have no sin, we're liars, and the truth is not in us. So I'm not saying I'm there. I'm saying a desire to be there. But Jesus was there. I always do the things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed in him. And I love that, because sometimes we're charismatic Christians, so we believe in all of the healing power of Jesus. We believe in signs and wonders. We believe in all of the things that the Bible says that Jesus enabled us, empowered us to do. He said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He said, they will speak with other tongues. He said, they will drink deadly poison. Jesus has given us this huge bank of potential power, you know. However, all these people did was hear Jesus' words, and many believed him. Because the words of Jesus are the words of the creator of your DNA. They should resonate with you. When you hear the words of Jesus spoken or read, something inside of you should be affected. You may want to kill him, or you may want to make him king, but they shouldn't have no effect on you. Because what's beginning to hum, what's beginning to vibrate, is the voice of the Creator of the heavens and the earth, in whose image you are created. And so if you're loving this world and clinging to this world, you're going to want to crucify him. If you're loving his word and saying, I knew that was true somewhere inside of me, I can't do it very well, but I know that it's all true, you want to make him king. So as he spoke these words, many believed in him. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed in him, I'm only talking to some of you now, he's saying. I'm only talking to some of you. You guys who believe in me right now, I'm only talking to you. If you abide in my word, and you are my disciples indeed. If you abide in my word, what is the word abide? We call it my humble abode. What's that, your house? It's where you live. If you continue in me, if you abide in me, if you live in me, if you take up your dwelling place in me, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I love this. If you abide in me, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And they answered him. Now this is your pride. And they answered them, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? The Jews spent their entire existence in bondage to somebody. If they weren't serving somebody else's gods, they were underneath the tyranny of Pharaoh or Babylon or some other place. They have always been under bondage. And we say, I know Jesus, the truth has made me free. I want to say, you don't even look free. There's nothing free about you. You're bound on the inside. You're bound on the outside. You're bound by your habits. You're bound by your sin. You're bound by your rotten boss. You're bound by, how many things are we bound by? And the Jews said to him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? You want to say, hello, McFly. Look in the mirror. Stop believing your own rhetoric. Stop believing your own echo chamber. We're the descendants of Abraham. We've never been in bondage to everyone. God has made us free. What are you, crazy? Your whole life is trying to escape bondages. They keep you shooting yourself in the foot. Or pushing yourself away from people or having people push themselves away from you. And they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will be made free? Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. What kind of freedom are we talking about, folks? We're talking about your sin. Talking about your sin. That's what you're enslaved to. Sin. Everybody's been enslaved to sin since Adam. Jesus came to save us from our sin. Amen? Yeah. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you are Abraham's decision, but you seek to kill me. Because my word has no place in you. So you are Abraham's decision, but the words that I'm speaking to you, they're from another world. They come from another place. They're not human reasoning.
These are dynamic spiritual words from another place. He says, I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do not, and you do what you have seen with your Father. He's setting them up here. Watch him. He's going to bring the hammer down now. They answered and said to him, Abraham is our father. Jesus said to them, hey. I just threw that hey in there. It's not in your Bible. If you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. Abraham did not do this. You do the deeds of your father. But they said, we were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Everybody thinks God is their father. Do you know that? Everybody thinks God is their father. Listen, you're not following Jesus. God is not your father. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Nor have I come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. What's that? Everything that's the world calls fun? It says of the devil. He's talking of the devil now. He said he was a murderer from the beginning. That thought that made me think. I said, how is the devil a murderer from the beginning? He was a murderer because he separated God from Adam. And that was Adam's death. The devil was a murderer from the beginning. He's the one who enticed the woman who old knucklehead Adam was standing there just waiting for the woman to fall so he could have his excuse to get a bite of that fruit too. But the devil was a murderer from the beginning. He was looking to separate man from God. That was the death. The death was the separation from God. Because watch this. And he was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. Why is the devil the father of lies? Because the woman said, if we eat this tree, we eat the fruit of this tree, we will surely die. And what's the first thing the devil says? The first lie ever spoken, you will not surely die. God has said, if we eat of this fruit, we're going to die. The devil said, you will not surely die. What does that create? Confusion. He's a liar. He lied. They were going to die. Now, she didn't take a bite of the apple and drop dead like Snow White. Right? Death began working its work in her. God separated himself from his creation, humanity, who were created in his image, separated himself, drew himself back from this planet, and they were dead. They were dead because you were not made to be a child of this planet. You were made to be a child of God. That's why the words of Jesus should resonate. Something should start buzzing inside of you, saying, oh my gosh, this is truth that I have not known this before. I have not known this before. You can become the richest man on the planet, and you're still of this earth. So the desires that you have are the desires of the earth, are the desires that everybody else has. Jesus said, I'm going to give you better desires than you've ever imagined. He says that my joy may remain in you. You are of your father the devil. The desire of the father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he was a liar and the father of it. When people say, hey, we're not under the law, you're under something that's far stronger than the law has ever been. The law just tells you what to do. Jesus is speaking about how your heart is functioning. Are you with me? Yeah. something much stronger than the law could ever do.
I don't have to go to church, it's not under the law, I don't have to tithe, it's not under the law.
No, because you're living off the rules of this land. You're living as other men live. You think that you're children of Abraham because you're Abraham's descendants, because I've received Jesus as my Lord, Savior. No, Jesus is just saying, listen, this is far harder than this. He's talking about your heart being purified. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which of you convicts me of sin? And if I tell the truth, why don't you believe me? He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear, because you are not of God. Then the Jews answered and said to him, did we not rightly say you are a Samaritan and have a demon? This could only be a demon talking to us Jews, us holy, religious, Jewish people this way. Jesus said, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and judges. Capital O in your Bible. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death. Most assuredly, I say to you, if anybody keeps my word, he shall never see death. You shall never see death. You shall never see death. If what? You keep my word. You shall never see death if you keep my word. You shall never see death. Those of us who believe in Jesus will never see death. It's just transition, folks. You know, when the disciples preached the gospel, you know what they preached? Jesus was raised from the dead. Why did they preach Jesus was raised from the dead? They didn't preach, believe in Jesus and you can go to heaven. They didn't preach that. They preached that Jesus was raised from the dead. And if you believe in him, you can be raised from the dead too. Resurrection, folks, is our hope. Resurrection is our hope. We're not going to be wispy, nebulous nothings with some kind of a spiritual body that you can see through and play the harp for the next 40 million years. You're going to have a body. You're going to have a job. You're going to have work. You're going to have an existence that's meaningful and wonderful forever and ever and ever. In God's kingdom where there's no need of the sun because Jesus himself is the light. Then the Jews said, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets and you say, if anybody keeps my word, he shall never taste death. What are you, a wacko? What are you, a lunatic? Everybody dies. The rate is running at 100%. Are you greater than our father Abraham who is dead? And the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be? Jesus answered and said, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I say I do not know him, I will be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Now you're messing with the time-space continuum, dude. Then the Jews said to him, you are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham? And Jesus says to him, it's one of the greatest scriptures in the entire Bible. Said, most surely I say it to you, before Abraham was, I am. Time, space, continuum out the window. He spoke the same words he spoke to Moses on the mountaintop when they said, who will I tell Pharaoh and all these people who's sending me? He said, tell him my name is I am. I am. Jesus said, hey, baby, before Abraham was, I am. One God. You want to mess up somebody's religion? Bring in Jesus. He'll mess up your religion. I don't care who you are, he'll mess up your religion. And then they took up stones to throw at him. They were not trying to make him king. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Jesus does that stealthy thing. Don't you love that? So listen, Jesus said, if you abide in me, if you continue in me, if you live in me, you will be my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now listen, but you know if you're really going to become proficient in anything, it's going to take some education. Whether it's a vocational trade or whether it's a intellectual, academic sort of thing. But you're a student forever. You're a student of Jesus forever. There ain't no PhDs in the kingdom. Only God's got a PhD. You understand? The rest of us are students. Most of us may be kindergartners. God wins with a disparate group of people with a singular cause. Jesus Christ is our Lord. Abide in me. And let my words abide in you, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. From what? Set you free from your husband, your wife? Set you free from America? Set you free from your truck payment? No, set you free from your sin. Then you'll be set free from all that other stuff. Your marriage will be healed. Your finances will be healed. Your relationships will be healed. And you'll be driven with a cause that will own you, and it will possess you, and it will drive you through the rest of your life. And you'll never see death.
Hello, this is Jacob Johnson, and I want to thank you for listening to On Fire Radio today. Pastor Bob shared a word out of John 8 titled Word Keepers. The base scripture was John chapter 8, verse 51, where Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he shall never see death." Maybe today Jesus' words are piercing your heart, and you've never taken the first step in having a relationship with Christ. Would you pray with me now? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I repent for my sin today, and I believe that you lived a perfect life and died as a sacrifice for my sin. I place my faith in you today and ask that you would cleanse me by your blood so that I may abide in you forever and never see death. Holy Spirit, fill me with your power. And Father, thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sins. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, if you pray that prayer with me, I encourage you to get a Bible. You can download an app on your phone. It's called the YouVersion app, and you can start reading today. Pick a Bible plan for new believers and start reading the Word of God. I'd also encourage you to start a prayer life and start spending time with God. And find a Bible-believing church. I'd like to personally invite you to Catskill Mountain Christian Center at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. We have church every Sunday morning at 10 a.m., 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. We'd love to meet you, pray with you, and hear how God is using this ministry in your life. In fact, if this message has ministered to you today, would you consider giving to the work of spreading God's word? You can give online at cmcconline.org. Again, that's www.cmcconline.org. While you're there, you can send us a message to let us know how this word has impacted you today. We would love to connect with you. There's also links to our YouTube page, Facebook, and other social media outlets, as well as more information about our daily ministries that go on at Catskill Mountain Christian Center. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson, signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.